Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today. Bet $100 to get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply. And we're also brought to you by SGPN's Big Game Bingo. $57 SGPN gift card for every bingo hit. And we're also brought to you by SGPN's 57 bets challenges, $570 in cash and a $570 gift card to the winner of our props contest. Get all of the contest info exclusively on the SGPN app. And if you're going to be out in Arizona for the big game, make sure to check out our live show at Ainsworth Thursday at 11. Register today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/big game. All right, D-Gens, welcome back to, I guess, kind of recap. Pebble's not over yet, but we'll talk about what happened at Pebble. And we're on to the Waste Management Open in Phoenix. This is the first tournament I've been fucking pumped for. And I can't even tell you how long. It's your boy, Boston Capper, with the god of golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, what's up?
I wish that I could take this Pebble Beach tournament and throw it in a Waste Management trash container right now. Yeah. Unfortunately, we can't. We all got to show up tomorrow morning and see how this thing rolls down. But yeah, that was a long slog that is unfortunately not over. We got a couple things in the mix, though. It was looking pretty bleak on Thursday and Friday, but...
Oh, my God. Doom on Thursday. We were texting each other like, there's not a single winning bet on our fucking card.
No, I thought it was going to get blanked. And the bone saw also wasn't looking too great for me to start, but that ended up kind of okay for me at the end. But... yeah, like this was, we always go into Pebble saying like this field sucks and, you know, like the coverage is going to be bad, but I kind of set my expectations low. And somehow the viewing experience did not meet expectations. It's almost like CBS knew, or Golf Channel, CBS, they all both knew that like this field sucks. So we're not going to spend any of our budget on this. We're just going to save it all for next week because there's going to be more eyeballs. But just as a hardcore golf fan who doesn't like getting shit on, even in like bad fields and stuff like that, like I'm still watching. I still want to be entertained. I still want
of course
a coherent product on my TV. And we didn't get it this week.
No, how many times did we talk about it? Like, how come I haven't seen a single shot from Victor? He's like fucking three shots back. Like I got nothing, nothing. Yeah. And look, whatever. Like the Pebble is what it is. Like, I don't want to bemoan it. Golf Twitter has done enough job. And I guess to the point where I'm like, I don't even want to be part of that crowd who bitches about it because they bitch about it so much. Like, listen, we know what we're going to get. Hopefully someday they'll change it. They probably won't. It is what it is. Like, we're going to gamble on it. We're going to bet on it. And we just have to deal with shitty coverage until somebody in the PGA office is like, let's fix it. I don't think they're going to fix it. Just don't. Like, it's like beating a dead horse. Like, I just feel like nothing's going to change.
I know.
I'm just beaten down, man. I'm just beaten down.
I mean, I'm going to have my heart and is going to literally explode if I don't just get this all out. Cause I could say this to my wife and she's not going to understand.
Yeah. She don't care. Yeah.
Here's what I don't understand about this coverage. Like, listen, like I understand that you want to show a lot of celebrities for the mainstream. It's fine. What I don't get is we have ESPN Plus, we have PGA Tour Live, and literally it transitions to Golf Channel. And it's just an extension of PGA Tour Live. We're seeing the same guys. We're seeing the same golfers. They just focus on four guys. They're already in feature groups. We saw How many shots of Ryan Palmer did I see this week? Way too many.
Too many.
Way too many.
Too many is the answer.
Yeah, so it's almost like all the cameras for PGA Tour Live, those what they all had to work with for the week.
Yep.
I don't really get it. I don't understand why that's the case. Like for example, like Justin Rose's ace, just no film.
Didn't see it
at all. Like there's not a hard
camera. I've never seen it. Have you seen it?
No. I didn't see it. No, no one filmed it. Like there's not even like a hard, like there's not even just a camera just behind the green, like just recording this stuff. No, that's no awesome. No one saw it. So technically, maybe he's not at 15 under. Maybe he actually made like an eight on that hole, but he's, you know, he just pulled a Patrick Reed inspired with his playing partners. And now he's, you know, winning a tournament right now. So.
Well, did I tell you Tommy's doing he's going to be a shot link guy for the players.
Is he really?
So he gets all these videos and he told me today that, they have to sign like a morals clause basically where they can't like share information. He's like, so it was a group text. He's like, I'm not gonna be able to talk to you that week. I was like, that's not the correct attitude. That's absolutely not the correct line. But no. he gets all these emails and like, just, he's getting overwhelmed with all this shit. Like they take it serious, I guess, when they want to, right? Like when they want to. Remember TPC was the first one that we got to watch every fucking shot from every golfer if he wanted to. Why can't we do that? Like, fuck Pebble. Like, but waste management. We're leading up into the Super Bowl. People are watching it. People are gambling on it. Like, why couldn't we have that here? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, they're gonna have, I think, that other stream with like PointsBet or something. So, like, they did something in conjunction with NBC last year. There's like five different streams, I think. Like, you'll have some celebrities on this. You'll have a gambling company doing something, and then you'll have like. You know, the main guy. So yeah, like there is additional coverage this week. The gambling one, from what I remember last year, was pretty bad.
It's garbage.
It's almost so, like these guys so were actually so gambled on golf.
They were like, it's minus 400 right now. I think that means.
Yes. That's yeah. Like they're trying to explain it to us. But I mean, like at the end of the day, like I think like CBS has tried to make changes and, you know, they do what they can. I legitimately think Comcast, who owns Golf Channel, just doesn't like golf, or just NBC Sports in general. Like they already shut down their network and turned USA into the Golden Corral of channels with, you know, Law and Order SVU, and then we got a college basketball game. Then we have Suits right after that.
The Golden Corral, I like it.
Just yeah, a little bit of everything.
Well, Comcast is, everybody knows Comcast is like the worst company in the entire fucking world.
Well, their customer
service is trash. Like, so why would their coverage of golf be any different?
Right. So there's that. I also didn't really understand either when they decided to stop play or who got to stop play.
Justin Rose is bitch ass. That's why, from your boys for the no lane up pod, and I saw it somewhere else on Twitter. He was bitching at the people to fucking water the greens. They watered the greens and they.
It was raining. Didn't... Why would they water the green?
Because Justin Rose is a fucking bitch, and if he wins this fucking tournament, like the golf gods, they don't exist. Golf gods don't exist if Justin Rose wins this fucking tournament, based off that hissy fit that he threw, and he got them. He basically, like you said, like he basically made everybody stop playing because he wanted. I can't. A limey prick like that, whining and bitching and moaning with his bad MasterCard commercials, his stupid fucking Morgan Stanley hat. I might have a fucking stroke.
Well, the week got off to a rocky start when they decided at the beginning of the week that everybody's going to play with Preferred Lies.
What was that? Because it was rain 3 days ahead. It makes no fucking sense.
Well, they tried to make it equitable for everybody, but the problem is, like, you kind of saw it this week. Like, you didn't play Pebble in the same conditions as the other guys. Like it is impossible day to day to day. If you do a multi-course rotation, you're never going to have it fair if you're by the coast.
No.
All right. So like I just decide day of. You don't have to do it all 3 days. And let me get this up straight too. So Thursday, right towards the end of the round, like what, 40-mile-per-hour winds started whipping up. They made everybody keep playing.
Yeah, didn't stop it then.
Then Saturday, you had 30-mile-per-hour winds, and then one green was unputtable, and then everybody stops. And then this morning, it's a little windy at Pebble. Only they stop, not everybody else.
I know you said that. That's so wild. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's so stupid.
I don't know. It just seemed like they're kind of just flying the seat of their pants.
Absolutely, that's exactly what they're doing.
I it's just like the RNA, like the Open Championship, like they kind of just let things go, like how it is. You know, sometimes at St. Andrews, you might have a situation where the green just like it gets too windy on them. But like this really shouldn't happen in the PGA Tour. This was a nightmare. And it's kind of embarrassing that like we have a lot of like casual sports fans who didn't have football maybe going to check this out and just seeing this clown show on TV. This is why the ratings are in the crapper, basically.
God, I wonder, what do you think the ratings are going to be this week?
Oh, God.
Over under 250 on Sunday.
Like 250,000?
Yeah.
I think maybe 400,000. That's not great, though.
You think so? No. Yeah, I'm taking the under on that. I'm taking the under.
Okay. I mean, we'll see. I mean, that's not good though. For
no, I know football. It's not good. Yeah, exactly.
Men's competition is gymnastics and college basketball. There's a NASCAR race that probably drew some eyeballs too. It's not good.
Is it NASCAR?
NASCAR? Yeah. Right. Yeah. They're on LA right now.
I don't know what that means. Right, like whatever. Los Angeles?
Yeah, they actually built a track inside the LA Coliseum.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool. I might turn that on after we're done recording. So, all right. Well, I mean, if you're listening to this right now, Pebble Beach is still going. Justin Rose has a 2-shot lead. Brendan Todd
Bullshit.
And Denny McCarthy are behind him. I have a bet on Brendan Todd. He was my FOMO bet. Capper, once again, thank you for shitting on my FOMO bet for the third straight week. It's been.
I have him top 20. I just didn't think he was going to win.
You said that was a bad FOMO bet.
It was because he's not going to win. He's still not going to win.
Okay. All right. Well, he's second, so
yeah, okay.
I get at least got a sweat out of it.
Yeah, that's fine.
So yeah, I mean, he's my really Robbie Sheldon made a little bit of noise. He kind of faded back. I have him for a top.
He cashed a matchup for me.
There you go. He's been solid. Nick Taylor looks like he's going to finish top 40. That's going to be a bet for me. Victor Hovland better hold the fuck together
that tomorrow,
or else I'm going to go. Or else everybody's going to go over three on those mispriced top 20s, basically. Because Patrick
Spieth, because Spieth ejected too.
Spieth couldn't hit a putt. Yeah, I actually thought, well, because
today he was all over the fuck.
Well, he was all, well, because if you start on the back nine today, you were screwed. Like you look at everybody at the bottom of the leaderboard, it's all guys starting on the back because the winds flipped. Yeah. So you wanted to be on the front nine because you had the wind at your back. Like, I'm not surprised that happened. But because literally like they had a camera on him the entire tournament seemed like, we got to see a lot of Spieth. I didn't think he hit the ball that bad. Lot of putts kind of just hung on the lip.
That's there. The it's story just, of his fucking last hole. 12 months at this point.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe not 12 months, but yeah.
Well, it vacillates. I mean, like a couple of years ago, it was all putting and no ball striking, and then when ball striking, no putting. Like even at the Heritage, he lost strokes putting that week.
I know.
One.
I know. I'm aware. I had Lowry who put it in the water twice. That was fun.
So it'll be interesting to see. I think a couple of years ago, Spieth was actually in the mix at Phoenix. It was the year that he had. No balls.
It was the first. It was the first time he was back in contention.
Right.
That was when you texted me. I think it was Friday or Saturday. Get down on Brooks, 40-1.
Yeah.
And I got down on Brooks at 40-1. And we cashed that fuck.
We did. That was nice,
baby. But it was
it'll be interesting to see if maybe Spieth can kind of rekindle that again. So. Maybe. I mean, it's a stack field though, which we'll talk about. Actually, why don't we take a break first?
Yeah, let's take a break and then we'll jump into it. We're done with Pebble. We gave it more coverage than the networks did.
Basically, yes. And more time and care.
Exactly. Way more time and care. All right, well, listen, WinBet is the official online sports book of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WinBet is active in a bunch of states, and there's tons of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays, a.k.a. WinBets, builds your own bet. The big game is here, and WinBet has got you covered. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now. WinBet, ready to play, sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100 and you get $100. It's limited to state availability. And of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 in free credit. There's so much to choose from. And all you got to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so that they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, man. So this is like the first. This is the first field. What?
I know. Yeah. Continue your thought.
I was just saying, like, this is the first field that, like, I'm excited about. Like, it's the big game weekend. Like,
you can say it.
No, I can't. Can I?
No, you can't. I checked with the guys. You can say it.
Oh, okay, fine. Super Bowl weekend. We just can't say in the ad reads.
Yeah, just in the ad reads. I mean, although I was actually thinking about, I was going to like Juego Gigante, you know, like Sabado Gigante. Like stuff.
Either way, man. Like this tournament has turned into like what golf should be, right? Like we don't need all the tournaments to be like this, but we need more tournaments like this, like where people are getting amped up with the hole in ones. You got Higgs taking off his shirt last year. You know what I mean? Like everybody gets into it, throwing beers, everybody's drinking, having a good time. Like this is, golf needs more of this. Golf needs more of this tournament.
Does it need more of this?
Yes.
Well, you know, like the crowd atmosphere, like
this. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely does. Yeah.
See, I like that it's just this tournament. Like they've tried doing it like Honda doesn't work. Right. We've seen it happen. It needs like to be organic. Seen sometimes like the crowd tries to take over, like anytime it goes to New York. They just turn obnoxious. Like I like that this is the one. I like that this is just the one tournament where that's a part of it. I feel like if it becomes like a thing and like mobile tournaments, you and I would get sick of it. Like maybe, they would beat into the ground. It's nice to bring it out once a year, and that's it.
I feel like it could be more than once a year, but it has to be organic, right? I don't like the force shit. Like I don't like the force stuff. Like I don't know, but. They kind of encourage it at this tournament with the way they set up, like, you know, where the grandstands are and, you know, over serving everybody, basically. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. TPC could be like this, like, or Sawgrass. I say TPC like it's the only TPC, but I live here. So, but like, Sawgrass could be like this, man. 17 can get rowdy. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a quiet tournament, but it could definitely get a little louder. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, oh, Christ, did I just say a fucking live line? Golf, but louder. Gross.
Oh no.
Oh God. All right. I scratch everything I just said. Stay quiet.
Our people watching us right now is about to go up 1,000 because all the lib bots are watching us right now.
Exactly.
No, listen. Like I agree. Like I don't want this force either. I like that it's part of it. Like I like that it's once a year. This is special. This is good. Like let's not mess with this. Okay.
That's fine.
So it's. Yeah, you know, and like you talk about like how things were forced. Like, yeah, like when the beer cans were thrown the first time, that was great. But then they started throwing beer cans after everything, and then it's like, let's stop.
Pump the brakes. Okay. Yeah, exactly. All right. Hole-in-ones only.
Yes, exactly. From Sam Ryder. Poor Sam Ryder. All right, so Waste Management Phoenix Open, obviously. So another reason why this is great and why you're pumped up is the Century Tournament Champions, was technically the first elevated event. This is the first elevated event. This is the first one.
Yes. Right.
Where everybody is here. I think everybody's here. I didn't notice anybody.
There's two that are missing.
Okay.
Two out of the top 25.
All right.
I don't remember who though.
I mean, look, like, I think the execs would love it because we have two guys right now that are just killing the game of golf. I mean, you got John Rahm, who's won 4 times in his last 8 starts, hasn't finished worse than T8, although that's the hero. In a PGA Tour event, hasn't finished worse than T7, which is last week at Torrey Pines. You also got Rory McIlroy, who's won 3 times in his last 7 starts, hasn't finished worse than 4th. So the only time they have actually gone head-to-head since last fall, actually 2 times. It was at CJ Cup. Rory got the best of him. He won the event. Rahm finished 4th in the CJ Cup. And then a couple weeks later, John Rahm won the DP World Championship. Rory McIlroy finished 4th.
Yep.
So, like, these guys are kind of going back and forth about, you know, winning big events, you know, that they've been in. We haven't seen them actually square off in a tournament since the DP World Championship because Rory didn't play the Century Tournament Champions. This is another showdown with them. But obviously, there's a lot of really big names in this, you know, Xander, Cantlay. Both those guys played all pretty well last year. Yep, Finau, Cam Young's flying back from the Saudi after playing pretty well over there. Scottie Scheffler, JT, Hovland, Tom Kim,
Keegan,
Morikawa,
Keegan.
Okay,
Keegan.
Yes, I on a hot streak apparently.
Dude, I cannot wait to bet Keegan this week. I can't wait.
Okay,
like think about we can get into the preview and you break it down much more eloquently than I will. But you need to be getting off the box. You need to be good with your irons, and you need to putt your balls off. Guess who's putting his fucking balls off? Keegan fucking Bradley. Let's go. Like I'm telling you, man, that 71 to number or whatever that they posted on DraftKings. I can't wait to get down on that. I'm so excited, Becky. Okay.
We'll talk about odds at the end of the show.
Sorry.
But all right, that's fine. All right, let's talk about the
golf. I'm excited, course. Steve. I can't help it.
I know you are. I'm excited. I know you are. All right, so let's talk about the golf course real quick. So TPC Scottsdale, built by the late Tom Weisskopf. Rest in peace, Tom. And then Jay Morish, they teamed up to create TPC Scottsdale. Finally, we are done with multi-course events. No more.
Thank God.
Not until Sea Island in the fall.
What do we say? We got to tell the listeners, next year we're not doing the Pebble. We're doing the Bonesaw. We're done with the Pebble.
I mean, we booked guests, so we had to. But
yeah, no, I'm saying next year we're done with the Pebble.
Well, if they make an elevated event, then we're covering it.
They're not going to make it an elevated event.
I don't think they are either. I'm gonna be honest. I don't think this event works anymore. They would have to get rid of the Pro-Am format.
Yeah, they're not going to do it.
I don't.
So we're going to cover the Bonesaw next year, guys. So RIP, Golf Gambling Podcast covering the fucking Pebble.
We'll still do a little bit. We'll just do a little more, maybe that. So yeah, anyways. We'll
do it like how we treated the Bonesaw this year. We just threw out our rights.
Okay, let me back to Scottsdale, buddy. Okay.
Sorry, buddy.
All right. So I get on this show a lot. And I say, look, like this is a TPC, not really all that interesting, pretty homogenous. This is probably, other than Sawgrass, I would probably say this is the best TPC course they play on the PGA Tour. You know, there's a lot of really interesting holes. Like the front nine, I would not call that very interesting. Like, can you name any holes in the front nine?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of them are pretty, you know, like the par fours. Pretty out right out in front of you. You got to hit driver on all of them. You got a bunker you got to avoid. You know, there's desert on both sides. Don't hit it in there. There's one par five with a little bit of a ravine in front. Other than that, though, there's no water that comes into play, I think, on any of them. It's kind of is what it is. But the show starts on the back nine. Right out of the gates, too. Like that hole number 10, that's like a 90-degree hole. You can cut the corner of the bunker. I think it's one of the smallest greens on the golf course with bunkers on both sides. You know, if you miss the green there, that can be a tough up and down. 11, that's the hole that you and I really like with basically the concrete fairway.
Yes.
Where it's borderline unfair. It looks great and it takes a giant hop into the water.
Yes.
Like you have to hit a really good drive there. Number 12, there's water around that hole too. Like there's some really good holes in the back nine, but it really starts getting going right at hole 15. That's the right before, you know, obviously the 16th. 15 is a 553-yard par five. It's got the island green, very reachable into. There's also water going all the way down the left. Intimidating tee shot, intimidating approach shot. You have to birdie this hole, though. It is very important, not only birdie this hole, but birdie all the par fives. There's only three of them, but they're all reachable. If you want to win this tournament, you got to either birdie. So also for you, Capper, I know sometimes you ask me, hey, how many eagles do we have? There's a lot of eagles in this tournament.
I know.
So if you're somebody who likes betting, hey, will John Rahm make an eagle? Will Rory McIlroy make an eagle? This one's probably for you.
Yeah. You can typically get like, so for people who aren't as degenerate as I am. So like you can typically look, you can go round by round and the worst odds you look at is like 4 or 5 to 1. Right. So pick a couple of golfers, some long guys who you think are going to do it, especially this week, and just do it round after round. And, you know, maybe at worst, you should break even. So one of the big dogs is at least one of the big dogs is going to make one eagle. What's funny about, like you said, 15, right? Like everybody goes for it. Everybody goes for
it. Yeah. Unless like, you're,
why not?
Unless you're in the rough. Yes.
Right, because even if you don't get it and you go in the water, you're still getting up and down for fucking par there.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I mean, plus you're also
at field, but it's not like
yeah, you're also at altitude as well. So yeah. Even if it's like a 200 and like I mean, you're getting a lot of roll because it's usually firm and fast. You probably have maybe like 220 into the green, like mm-hmm. Yeah, 1500 feet of altitude, that's basically almost a club help, you know. Helping you there.
Oh, easy.
So yeah, guys, you know, there's also like, there's a couple bailout places. There's a couple big bunkers to the side there. There's some overseeded rough that'll catch balls, before they roll into the water. There's a lot of room, at least to miss there. You just can't miss really wildly, going to that green. So,
agreed.
But yeah, like you absolutely have to bury that hole. Plus, you know, you're going to start hearing stuff from the 16th. It might get in your head a little bit.
Yeah, what just happened over there?
Right. Yeah. And then 16th, obviously, we all know about it. We already talked about it. I mean, like, on an ordinary day, like for 361 days a year, it's kind of a
ho-hum.
Whatever hole.
Yeah, ho-hum.
Yeah, it's like 160 yards, multi-tier green, couple bunkers. But yeah, when you put 20,000 drunks.
That pressure, man. Can you imagine getting up in that box and all that? Like, it's like just your normal guy. It's like whatever, like a Ryan Streb. I don't know why that name came to me, but whatever. Like you know what I mean? Like a guy like that steps up into this box and there's a bunch of people watching. Like the pressure on like your normal guys who aren't used to feeling the pressure. Like I feel like that's gotta that either depending on your makeup, right? That either helps or hindrances you.
Yeah, like I know I've seen videos of like Ian Poulter famously shanked it like into
because he's a twat.
There. Yes, he is. But yeah, listen, like. You watch this tournament every single year. You know what the 16th hole is. We don't really need to get into it. I mean, for you and I personally, if we ever went to this tournament, we probably would spend a little bit of time at 16. We're probably spending most of our time at 17. 17, though. Yeah, that's the best hole.
Day,
that's,
baby. That's the best hole
in the golf course.
Best hole. Absolutely. Not even close.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Now, it's not as good as it used to be because all these guys are really long now where, like, there used to be a decision. It used to be... Do you lay up short of that, you know, centerline bunker, or do you just go for it? Like a couple of years ago when Finau had that, like a 3-shot lead over Webb Simpson, he laid up off the tee, ended up in that centerline bunker, ends up, I think, parring the hole. Webb birdies it. But guys now, they can pull 3-wood and then get to the front of the green, which, listen, it's hard to control a 3-wood sometimes. Like that can go left on a lot of these guys. We saw with Sahith Tagala. He went in the water there. We've seen a couple times that your good friend, Brandon Grace, he blew a tournament here by hitting in the water. Ricky Fowler famously hit a 3-wood, hit the downslope and went all the way through the green to the water.
May
have hitting the water again in the playoffs. So,
well, didn't Decky just do that last year? Was it 2 years ago?
Possibly. I don't know. I mean, Decky's won this twice.
No, I know. But I feel like he went. He like putted or chipped it off, and then it got saved on the collar because he chipped it again, and when it went in, and it saved on the collar on the back end. But yeah, it's a nightmare. Like it's such a fun hole. It's the best hole on the course.
It is, and like if you go right there too, like there's a low lying collection area. We've seen Brooks Koepka chip in to go into the lead, but that's not a very easy up and down, especially if the pin is tucked like back left there. You basically have no shot to go for the pin if you're
That's on Sunday. Right. It's on Sunday, right? I feel like it's in front. I feel like it's in front the first couple of days, and it's always in back on Sunday.
No, last year it was in front. It was front left last year. Usually, I think Saturday they put it back there, though.
Okay.
Yeah, but regardless, if it's back there, if you bail it right, you're not probably making a birdie there.
That's a tough approach shot.
Well, it's a drive.
Well, no. I'm saying no. So,
you
like,
trying to get up and down. Yes.
Yeah. If you lay up, right, or if you end up to the right, like that's a tough approach shot. Like that's a little 50-yard, 40-yard, like handsy.
Well, yeah. Like, and if the green's running pretty firm, you could chip that all the way.
Put it right in the water.
Yeah. We've seen guys do that too. So yeah, listen, fun hole. It's actually the site of the only hole in one on a par 4 in PGA Tour history by Andrew McGee.
When the fuck was that?
This is like way long time ago, like early 2000s, I think.
Really?
Yeah, he made a hole in one there. Yeah, listen, 17.
I'm gonna have to YouTube that shit.
Listen, is it a architectural masterpiece? No. Is it just a fun, exciting hole that adds a lot of drama? And we've seen tournaments swing wildly. Yeah, it's great. It's a great hole. I could spend all day there just seeing guys, you know, either fuck it up or get that birdie, get an eagle.
Eagle.
Exactly. Yeah. So, all right. And then 18, kind of a typical 18th hole for a TPC, you know, all the way down the left, bunkers on the right. They have church pew bunkers right past the water, which I don't really know why they're there. They're basically just there, I think, to make it look tough. This hole, though, it has a lot more bark than bite. These professionals, they aim away from the water. They can pretty much carry most of those bunkers because they're at altitude and the fairways are firm. It's really kind of a weak finishing hole, but it's a birdie hole though.
Yeah.
If you get a good drive there, but like, you know, it looks visually tough. Like, it's very unless you hit a really, really, really poor shot. I think a couple of years ago, somebody hit it in the church pee bunkers. They were caught up like in that fescue. I think actually Ricky was. He almost blew the tournament then. Otherwise, though, these guys are pretty long. They'll take all the trouble out of play. It's a pretty easy wedge to the green.
Yeah, but if you get some guys who are like, let's say we got like this week, like a Malnati type, right, who's in the mix, that visual intimidation, you know, golf is 90% in between years. Like, all these guys are great. So I feel like you get somebody up there who's not a Finau and not a Rahm and not a Rory, and they see that shit and they're within one of the lead or they have the lead. Like, that's the moment they shat. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, because they look at it and they're intimidated by it. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm going to say something in a little bit that makes that not make sense.
Okay.
PGA Tour is going to stack the deck this week. I'll tell you why. Why don't we take a break?
Fine.
And I will tell you why the PGA Tour is going to rig this thing.
Great. All right. All right. But listen, big game bingo. You also need to make sure you sign up for the SGPN app and get your own big game bingo card full of all your favorite big game prop bets. And if you get a bingo, you'll win $57 in SGPN gift cards. The only catch is you got to be subscribed to the Sports Gambling Podcast and the NFL Gambling Podcast on YouTube to win. And listen, if you guys are going out to Arizona, you got to check out for the big game. You got to make sure you check out SGP's live show at the Ainsworth Thursday at 11 a.m. Register today at sportsgamingpodcast.com/big game. The show is free and you'll be able to watch the show and have some drinks with the guys. That's sportsgamingpodcast.com/big game.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about this golf course. Betting strategies. So why you give me that look, by the way?
What look?
You just gave me a look like I should have jumped in right there.
No, it was more of like, I think I read it out of order and I think we're going to have another break.
Okay.
I had to scroll down the wrong thing.
Well, that's why we don't do the show live.
Yeah. Whoa, just kidding. We do it. Here's my face.
All right. Well, I got a lot to say. So how about this? Before we get to the relative skill set chart, we'll take another break. Where there's something else we need to mention too. So.
Well, yeah, that's the only thing. That's what I missed, right? So, hey, well, guys, we're doing a giveaway with Piper Golf. Basically, all you gotta do is follow Piper Golf and at the Golf Gamer Podcast on Twitter, and we're giving away is it a dozen golf balls? Is that right?
Yeah, it's a dozen of the gold Piper golf balls. So, yeah, like so these golf balls, you know, they perform just as well as a Pro V1 for a little bit less of the cost, especially around the greens too. Like a lot of us, like, we can't take advantage of, like, all the Pro V1 can offer you. No. But these golf balls are really, really good. First of all, they compare tee to green to a Pro V1. But they also do really well around the green. It's a high-spinning ball, so you can stop the ball pretty good. So, spend a little bit less. Improve your short game. Maybe it'll improve your scores, too, by using Piper Golf.
Sweet. I'll get a lesson and some Piper Golf balls, and maybe that'll... Like, the short game is... So messy. It makes me so mad. Mm-hmm. I hate my short game.
Yeah. Listen.
So listen, go do that. And get in the contest, man. Win a dozen of the gold balls. And why not, man?
Let's go. All right. Now let's get to the golf course. TPC Scottsdale, par 71, three par fives, all of them about 550 to 580 yards. All of them are reachable at 1,500 feet of altitude and how firm these fairways are going to be. 7,261 yards, again, at 1,500 feet of altitude. Plays a lot shorter than that. Mm-hmm. Agronomy. Let's talk about that. This is naturally a Bermuda golf course. It's overseeded in the desert. It gets pretty cold at night. It's overseeded with ryegrass and fescue, and they overseed the shit out of this thing. It's Waste Magic Phoenix Open. It's green. They want it to just pop.
So I was going to ask you. So what does that mean? I remember last year you talked about it, but as you know, my memory is garbage, so I can't remember. So what does that mean? Like, what's it going to play like on the greens and in the fairways?
I mean, it's just going
to... Like if I'm making a model, right? So if I'm making a model on who I want like a good putter to be, I know it's easy putting here, but like, what should I be focused on?
I mean, I can tell you the golf courses that you have.
Fine.
Screen. Okay. All right. Perfect. So, for one thing about that, though. So a couple years ago, so the overseed they use is Poa Trivialis and a rye overseed. That's what makes it a little more green on it. They used to throw something called velvet bentgrass on it, too. Now, you might hear... that, like, maybe throw out the putting stats from a couple years ago, so they had the Velvet Bankcrest. It's immaterial, guys. Like, it's still going to roll really good. Don't worry about it. You can use past putting stats from this tournament, even without the Velvet Bankcrest. It's okay. It's not going to matter all that much. But here are the other golf courses that's overseed. So PJ West and La Quinta, that's just a Poa Trivialis overseed. Still rolls pretty true. It takes a lot of the grain out of, you know, a natural Bermuda green. Use that. Obviously, TPC Sawgrass post 2019. That also, that has that Velvet Bentgrass. It's going to roll about the same.
That sounds like something I'd go pick up at my local medical marijuana dispensary.
Yes.
Velvet Bent Green. I feel like we should make a strain.
Yes, very potent strain. Rolls very true as you roll the joint. Innisbrook.
We can do it. Let's go.
Innisbrook Resort. Those are
Copperhead?
Copperhead. Those are Poa Trivialis overseed greens. Sometimes, depending on when they play it, though, sometimes the Bermuda can pop up a little bit, but if it's colder, it's a Poa Trivialis overseed. Austin Country Club, which, by the way, that is going to mean a demise. Did you hear about that?
No.
Oh, the WGC match play is going to be no more at Austin Country Club. This is the last year for it.
No more match play?
That is to be determined. But it seems like WGC is officially dead. They're not.
I like match play.
I know. They're going to have to figure out. They're going to have to create a new tournament, basically, with just match play.
Yeah.
They can't
take match play away.
So there was a dispute between Austin Country Club and the PGA Tour. It was kind of a pissing match, and PGA Tour just decided we're not coming back here. This is the last year. The good news is that Memorial Park, Houston Open, that really difficult golf course in the fall, that's actually going to take its place. So that's good. I'm happy that's still going to be on the schedule, but I really liked Austin Country Club. It was a great match play venue, and they're going to take it away. That's a big loss. It's a big loss. I know, you're bummed, man.
Dude, this sucks. I love match play.
I do too. You got to enjoy.
There should be more than one match play thing. Now they're going to take it fucking all away?
I mean, I think the Tour Championships should be match play, but no one wants to listen to my crazy ideas about that.
God damn it.
Anyways, yeah. There's no shirts game.
That's it? Like, there's no more match play?
It's to be determined. But this is definitely the last match play at Austin Country Club. If they relocate it, it's going to be a different place in the schedule, and it will not be an Austin Country Club. My guess is it might be dead. I'm going to be perfectly honest. So, all right. Well, with that, Austin Country Club, you can use that. TPC San Antonio, that's a Poa Trivialis overseed. Harbor Town, Poa Trivialis overseed when they play it the week after the Masters, and TPC Louisiana for the Zurich Classic. So if you want to take putting stats from seven golf courses, there's actually a lot of data you can use. So
do they keep track at Louisiana?
So they used to when they had the stroke play event. You're not going to get a lot of recent stuff, though. So, but I mean, like, you know,
I'm still on tilt about match play, man. What the fuck? Why wouldn't you tell me that prior instead of just springing that on me?
I mean, now? I just saw it on the list. I'm like, oh yeah, I thought I texted you that.
I don't know, dude. We text a lot.
We do. We do. It's a digital best friend relationship there.
God damn, so, man. I don't know if I can recover from this. I can't believe I'm going to lose.
Why don't you mute yourself and then when I talk? Okay. All right. So overseeded greens. They're about 7,070 square feet in average. They're fairly large for PGA Tour standards.
Yeah.
They'll run about 12 in the SIP meter too. So pretty standard
fast
PGA Tour speeds. All right. I mentioned before that I think the PGA Tour is stacking the deck. Here's why. Typically the rough, which is also overseeded, by the way, is 2.5 inches. This year it's only 2. So I think what they want is, because all the best players, and driving is really important here.
Yeah.
All the best players that I mentioned at the top of the show, gain a ton of strokes off the tee. I think they want the rough to be as least difficult as possible. And guys can just, even if they hit in the rough, they can go for the green, they can spin the ball. They want a packed leaderboard of the best of the best on Sunday. And I don't think it's a coincidence that there's no reason with the weather. The weather was the exact same last year as was this year. This is a decision by the tour to make it only 2 inches. 2 inches ryegrass is nothing. Oh. Like it's the ball's going to sit up really nicely for these guys. I think they want it. They want the best of the best to be at the end. And one way to do it is don't make it difficult if they hit it a little bit in the rough.
But the problem is never the rough here. It's when you fucking hit it off the planet and end up in the fucking desert.
I know it isn't, but they're still shaving half an inch. Like they're trying to make sure that
right. These guys, they're doing everything they can.
Right, like take away any adversity these guys could have. So and like even so, like these greens are really firm too. So yeah, the rough is not a problem, but you still don't get a whole lot of spin. In 2 inch ryegrass, you can still get clubbed.
Do whatever you
really
want.
Go in the ball. You're gonna be able to put spin on it. They're trying to promote a stacked leaderboard on Sunday because this is their first.
That's fine. Listen.
It's fine.
I'm fine with it. Normally I would bitch about something like that, but yeah, let's get a stacked leaderboard on Sunday. Right. Okay. Let's do it. Let's get all the eyeballs on golf right before the Super Bowl. The problem is like, was it 2 years ago when they were in the playoff? Or was it last year? It was last year when they were in the playoff. And like, you got people over who like want the Super Bowl on. And I'm like, you can go fuck yourself. I'm watching the end of this playoff. Like,
okay. Sorry. Well, let's get back to what you said at the top of the show. They're not making it all that easy for Keegan to win if he's got to fight all the big names.
Dude, Keegan is a big name in my brain.
In your brain.
See how I did that?
Okay.
But I'm telling you, Keegan can definitely go with these guys. What are you talking about?
He can.
God damn it. You're going to make me bet more than I need to.
Listen.
On fucking Keegan.
He can.
I'm playing my flag.
I'm just saying.
Playing my flag. Keegan's fucking winning this week.
When I said earlier they want Jon Rahm versus Rory McIlroy, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but listen.
They want all those guys up top. This is a conscious decision to make it like this.
Keegan is putting better than both of those guys right now, and he is good off the bottom.
That's actually not true.
How much you want to bet? He was the best putter last week, the best putter in the field. Not last week, not Pebble, but the week before.
You keep running your mouth.
Last 12 rounds.
That's 12 rounds?
Last 12 rounds.
Okay, let me pull up my spreadsheet.
Yeah, pull it up.
Okay. And last 12 rounds for Keegan. Anyway. He is gaining. He is losing 0.04 strokes.
There's no way he's losing. He was the best putter in the field last week.
Well,
2 weeks ago.
Keegan also lost 5.6 strokes putting at Century Tournament Champions. That doesn't help your case.
Century doesn't count.
It does count.
It's not a real tournament.
What the fuck are you talking about? Hey, well, you just lost that bet.
Fine. Okay. Dude, he's.
We also lost a viewer because you said something really stupid like that. So good job. You're chasing away.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Keegan can hang. Dude, they can try to script
it. Keegan can hang for a top 10. Okay. I don't think Keegan's win this thing. All right. Anyways, let's get back to point number two. After I got derailed up by that. Scoring average. Usually it's about 0.3 under par, not exactly a birdie fest, but if you keep it basically in the fairway, avoid the water troubles, avoid the desert, this place can definitely be had. It's bigger greens, reachable par fives. You can make a lot of birdies if you just don't do anything really stupid. In addition, three of the four stroke gain categories, you typically can gain more strokes on the field here. Basically, it's a little easier conditions than the average PGA Tour stop. I'll get to some reasons why in a little bit. The only exception is around the green, but that's only a little more difficult than PGA Tour averages. I mentioned at the top of the show, this is a very driver-heavy golf course. Really, there's no golf course other than maybe 17 that you're not pulling driver on. It's all really right on front of you. The answers are right there. You can hit it basically long and straight. That works really well here. It also has the highest of all tournaments with at least five events there since 2015. It's the highest average driving distance of all drives, just under 300 yards for the field. And even though the field driving accuracy rates are kind of low, it's only about like 62% because the fairways are pretty firm. Even before this decision to make it only 2 inch ryegrass rough, missing the rough was never really all that penal.
No.
So they're making it even less penal. So it's not going
to
matter.
Am I crazy to think it's like putting here is super easy?
Well, I'm going to get to putting.
Sorry.
Yeah, we have a couple other categories to get to.
I know. Sorry.
Okay, just let me be patient. All right. So while missing in the rough is not difficult, there are a lot of ways you can really screw yourself off the tee. That's why you got to drive it really well here. You can hit it in the desert, end up in a cactus bush, penalty, or into a dry creek bed, penalty, or into the water, penalty. It actually has the third highest rate of penalty shots on the PGA Tour of all tournaments with at least five events since 2015. Only TPC really? River Highlands and Sea Island produce more.
Really?
Yeah. So you can listen, like we've seen, like number 12. Perfect drive, just a little bit too left. Far left, water.
Cactus. Yep. No, wait, no, which is the one with the cactuses on the left where Spieth was, where he.
I mean, every hole has cactus. Every hole.
You know what I mean, though. You know what hole I'm talking about, where he got like, where he was like in the cacti.
Probably somewhere on the front line. So, but anyways, like that hole. Like there's ways it can go very wrong for you. So guys who maybe they're not the most accurate, but they gain a ton of strokes, they don't get in too much trouble, they tend to do pretty well here. Let's talk about the green sizes. Above average greens. Still, the green regulation rate is about PGA Tour average, about 66%. Although the last couple of years have been close to 70. Guys have kind of torn it up. They play pretty firm. So that can, and there's some runoff areas off the green. It's probably a reason why the green regulation rate isn't like 75% because, you know, it's not pillow soft.
Right.
But even so, the approach shots aren't really all that difficult from under 150 or over 150. That's the one thing about TPC Scottsdale. Like, there's nothing really like stands out about it as far as like difficulty. Like, it's kind of the average run of the mill PGA Tour course with. Pretty like if you're doing pretty good, like hey, there's not a whole
moving.
Yeah. The only place where really there might be adversity is around the green. There's some shade off areas. There's some collection areas we see, you know, next to the green on 17. Chipping off the fairway, it's the ninth most difficult on the PGA Tour. Also getting out of the bunkers isn't all that easy too. So yeah, like that could be somewhere if you have a really bad short game. Maybe that can expose you. So, and then just like you mentioned, the greens, pretty easy greens to putt on. It's the Poa Trivialis Overseed. They roll really true, kind of like how we saw at PJ West. Takes a lot of the grain out of it. Guys can roll in a lot of putts. You can do that here. And guys are able to gain a lot more strokes putting on putts less than 5 feet, between 5 and 15 feet, and over 15 feet. That was not the case the last 2 weeks where we've had to deal with the Poa Trivialis or the Poa Anna. The West Coast,
or just you don't know what you're going to get.
Exactly, it's a luck box. None of that this week. So, do we have to take another break, or can I get right to the skill set?
We're good. Let's go.
Well, let's lead right to that. So, I always post a skill set chart from Data Golf. It's a great tool. Shows correlation of different skill sets, depending on the type of leaderboard. No surprise. I've said a lot before. You got to drive it really well here.
Off the tee.
Higher correlation of guys who hit it long and straight.
Which is more important, longer or straighter?
Straight. There's a higher correlation of guys who hit a little fairway. Like, I mean, obviously you mentioned John Rahm. Xander's pretty good combination of length and accuracy. Can't like good combination of length and accuracy. We've seen Webb Simpson win here. Billy Horschel's done well here. They tend to hit a lot of fairways. So just kind of off the top of my head, think about some of the top players. I mean, Rory, Rahm, gained a lot of strokes off the tee.
Yep.
Morikawa, because he hits a lot of fairways. Tom Kim hits a lot of fairways.
So, I like Morikawa this week if that number stays where it's at that I saw on the draft
games
was at.
Yeah, he gains a ton of strokes off the tee too. Like that, like that's what to look for. Like, don't look at necessarily distance. Don't look at necessarily accuracy. Like most, like look at like, all right, if you're accurate and you gain a ton of strokes off the tee, long gains a ton of strokes off the tee, like that's strokes off the tee is gonna be big this week.
Yeah,
you have to drive it.
Yeah.
Iron play is about average, but iron play is the most important stat anywhere. Like,
always.
If you're a good iron player, it's going to help you. If you're a bad iron player, it's not going to help you. Around the green, there's not really a whole lot of correlation to an actual statistical profile of if you're a really good scrambler or a really bad scrambler. Just doesn't seem like that's an important differential between if you're going to be good or not. But in tournament, you have to be really good around the green. It's actually...
Think about where Brooks chipped in. Remember, he chipped in.
Your performance around the green dictates to a pretty high correlation what your total strokes gain is. The problem is you just don't really know who's going to do it because it doesn't seem like it's the most important thing.
Right.
And then putting, there's a high correlation of guys who are really good putters because these greens were really true. If you're a really good putter, you can take advantage of it. We've seen a lot of really good putters do well here. Like Xander's a good putter, does really well here. Webb Simpson is one here. You know, back in the day, Ricky Fowler was a really good putter. He's won.
Doesn't it help? Doesn't something like this help bad putters though?
It does, but you can separate yourself a little more if you're a really good putter.
Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going by what it says. So
I was just asking. Yeah. It was a question.
So although we've also seen Hideki win twice, and he's not a great putter, but he just
Hideki's not a good putter, but when Hideki gets the putter right and he can stay like flat or even positive a little bit, like
okay. All right, I'm just saying, like, from a if you're looking pre-tournament, you don't know if Hideki's going to do well putting that week.
Fair enough.
So that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about. But generally speaking, better putters have a better chance of finishing towards the top of the leaderboard. You're going to see more of those guys towards the top of the leaderboard generally. There obviously are exceptions. So, and then the last thing, your approach on distribution chart, very defined this week. Higher rates than the PGA Tour average from anywhere between 100 and 200 yards. 70% of your approach shots is from between 100 and 200.
That's a huge sample. Like 100 and 200, that's almost...
Well, it's also 70% of your approach shots.
Almost every tournament's between 100 and 200 yards for approach shots?
No, necessarily. Sometimes there's less than 100. It's a higher percentage there. It's skewed. Sometimes over 200 is higher skewed. All right, so for example, let's just look. So between 200 and... Basically 200 plus, it only makes up about 21% of your shots. Under 100 yards, it only makes up 7% of your shots.
What about 150 to 200? Like, I feel like is
150 to 200, it is 38% of your shots. And from 100 to 150, it is 31% of your shots.
Damn.
You can't ignore one.
Yeah, it's weird.
So here's what I recommend.
That's such a big thing. You know,
well, here's what I recommend. Here's what I recommend. Break them up into two, look at both.
Yeah.
So you build a model, you're gonna have to use both. You can't avoid one. Otherwise, you're only looking at out of three approach shots.
Yeah.
You gotta get as much as you can into it. So, and then as far as your shots over 200.
Isn't that weird though? Isn't that weird? When was the last time we talked about like that big of a gap in usually it's like, all right, most of the shots come between 1 and 150 or, you know, 1 and 125 or 150 to 175. Now we're like between 1 and 200. That's so many shots. You know what I mean? That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's short to mid-irons, basically.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Or like Torrey Pines, a lot of long irons.
Yeah,
so
that's fair.
As far as like longer approach shots, you probably, those are just your par fives. You can probably just look at par five scoring. Like your par four stuff is basically 100 to 200 yards. And some of your par threes as well. So, just overall, what to look for this week. Course history is a big thing. There's a higher correlation of guys who have pretty good success here, tend to have repeat success. Really good drivers. I've tried to hammer that into your guys' heads. Good combination of length and accuracy are both. Players who are pretty good with their short to mid irons. Good putters, especially on maybe some of these overseas surfaces. Got to score on par fives. That's really the name of the game for this week.
Can I bring up something?
Sure.
I know you're irritated. So the last time Keegan gained almost 7 strokes putting, his two previous were a miscut where he lost 3.5, and at the BMW, he lost almost a quarter. And then after he gained 6 strokes putting, he won the Zozo. So prior to his second at the Famas, he lost 6, 1.8, and then he just gained 7. So that means he's winning this week.
Okay. All right. Then he's winning this week. Congratulations. Do you want to just pay it out right now?
Yes. That would be fun. Okay. How nice would that be, by the way?
Why don't you just single bullet Keegan then? Just put your money where your mouth is.
I'm not going to single bullet, but I'm definitely
betting. Well, then you're a coward then. You're on the show saying some obscure fact about Keegan.
I just like
one time. And then he won. So why don't you just do it?
Because I like to watch the irritation on your face as I spit these facts out because it's such a small sample size. And small sample sizes irritate you.
It does.
I know. I love it.
Okay. You want to go over where the odds are?
Actually, I was going to ask you about, what do you think about a specific Decky's number?
What's his number?
It's almost 30. It's like 28 or 29.
I think that's fair.
Do you?
Yeah. Okay. Like, look, okay. The guys are at, like, Morikawa's, Tom Kim,
Morikawa and
Finau's a little below him, 25.
I know.
Like,
I know. I'm living in this range, man.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all these are really good players. Like, all right. So let's ask a question then.
Yeah.
Where, I guess, how far other than Keegan, where do you stop?
Let me pull it up. Because what? We got Keegan at what, 65?
Yeah.
Who's below Keegan? It probably stops at Keegan, if I'm being real.
I think it stops higher than that.
I mean, higher as far as
I think it stops at... I mean, I think the number on Burns is bad, but I would say probably Cam Young range. I think it stops.
What are you seeing Cam Young at, 45?
I see a 35.
Yeah, if he was 45.
I mean, all these are kind of condensed.
Yeah.
I would say, because then you get to Jason Day, Taylor Montgomery.
Yeah, no, listen, I mean, obviously I'm fucking homer.
People are going to bet Saheath again because he almost won last year and he did really well at Torrey. People are going to bet him.
Yeah.
You got Matt McNeely at 55, Hatton 55, Ricky 60, Fleetwood 60, Lowry 60, who's playing like garbage right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's because you start with Cam Young. I mean, Spieth is up here. He's always overvalued. But like, all right, goes Cam Young, Sungjae, Hovland, Tom Kim, Hideki. I think that's the floor. If you have all these guys in this field. And I think the PGA Tour is stacking the deck to get one of them to win, or a couple of those guys in the mix. I mean, I think that's about the limit for me.
I mean, Montgomery at 50 is interesting. I'd rather take Montgomery at 50 than Saheath. But Burns at 55 is just puzzling.
He played well at Amex. He didn't play at Torrey.
Siwoo has a spotty history here, even though he should do well because of the TPC courses.
Yeah.
Sheamus, no thank you. But listen, if I wasn't a homer for Bradley, like, listen, obviously I'm just breaking in balls and making it into a bit. But like Keegan's number 65 is definitely fair, and it's alive-ish, right? Like he's better than fucking Brian Hammond and Corey Connors and Aaron Wise at this fucking course. Like he just is. Like he's a better player than those guys. Am I wrong or am I just fucking?
I mean, I think Aaron Wise is comparable.
Aaron Wise is not fucking comparable. What has Aaron Wise ever done? What has he ever done?
You want me to talk about a profile of Aaron Wise?
I don't care about a profile. What has he done? What tournament has he
won? What the fuck are you talking about? Seriously, can you shut the... All right, no. Shut the fuck up about Keegan, seriously. All right, just stop. Seriously, stop. Please. Full stop. You're being really irritating at this point. Okay, fine. Stop. You've made your point about Keegan.
So I would say, what would you say, 50 then at Montgomery?
Probably, yeah, sure.
I mean, Potter, longish.
Sure. Yeah, that can work.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Young at 35. I mean, you're probably right. It's coming from 35 and under, right?
It probably is. I mean, all right. So somebody below that is going to be Rom, Rory, Xander, Scottie Scheffler, Max Homa, who might go back to back. JT, Cantlay, Finau, Morikawa, Tom Kim, Hideki, Hovland, Sungjae, Cam Young. A lot of guys you got
to
beat.
It's weird to see Homa price the same as JT.
I know. JT's not playing all that great.
I know. I don't think JT's price is right. Like, I think Homa's price is right. JT should be lower.
I think he might drift. Fitzpatrick might be a little high, although he played well here last year. There was that thing about like the injury with him, although he played good today.
Yeah, and I guess he didn't have his normal caddy either.
Okay. I mean, that might have something to do with it, but.
Finau at 25, Morikawa at 25, Kim at 28. Those are also fucking juicy, man.
Okay.
God. I don't know what I'm going to do this week.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. It's going to be hard to pick. I mean, realistically, three max.
Yeah,
or four if you maybe start with like Finau.
Right? Yeah, if you start at Finau. You could realistically go between Finau and Morey, and then even take Tom Kim at 28, and then maybe Young at 35. That's three guys, 35-1, and then you can drop all the way down like a Montgomery or a Burns at 55. That card's perfectly fine. But you got to ignore those fucking studs at the top. Like Xander. Like, listen, I'm never going to bet Rory or Rahm at that short of a number other than the one. Xander at 11.
Or shit, Cantlay. I mean, he almost won this last year. His game is perfect for this place.
It really is. And, dude, it was a playoff. I mean, how many playoff holes did we play last year? It felt like it was fucking 10.
I was drunk, so I kind of lost track. But I know I hit
Cantlay. It was
Cantlay,
forever.
I had Cantlay and Scheffler. I was like, oh,
I only had Cantlay. I only had Cantlay. And you were very happy and drunk, and I was not.
I was. This golf course is made for basically being an awesome driver and being rolling some putts, and like there's so many of those guys like at the top right now. I know you poo pooed it, but like, can I actually give you like the Rory and Rahm putting numbers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so Rory has gained just under a stroke per round putting his last 12 rounds, and Rahm has gained about 0.8 over his last 50, 0.6 over his last like 10.
That's weird. I feel like he's been putting better.
Who, Rahm?
Yeah.
I think he had a bad. Yeah. So at the, it's funny enough. Well, so here's what it is. At the Amex, you only have two rounds, and he lost two strokes putting at PGA West or the Stadium Course. So that's okay. Why the short term. Other than that, though. Gained 1.7 at Century, gained 1.7 in Dubai, gained 1.5 at Spanish Open.
Yeah.
Gained like 8 strokes putting at the Tour Championship. Like, yeah. And like he's a monster off the tee too. So
yeah, that's an understatement.
Yeah. So I mean, hopefully one of those guys don't win, because otherwise my bets are gonna go bust out.
Yeah, because we can't bet them.
Probably not. So.
Although on what? I wonder who do you think what do you think the juice is on a Rahm versus Rory matchup? I think it's -120 Rahm or -120.
I mean,
what do you think?
If Rory's like plus money against Rahm, I would just blindly take Rory. I think they're basically both playing the same level right now.
Right,
so why not just take the underdog? I don't want to. I don't want to touch that matchup.
Oh, I am. I'm 100% betting Rahm over Rory. 100%.
Of course you are. You hate Rory.
I do.
You would bet Keegan over Rory at like plus one.
Oh, I get way better odds than plus one. Like, how about this? You want to bet? You want to do a charity bet? Keegan versus Rory. You make up the odds. Oh. And I'm just saying. Why are you so derailed by me tonight?
Because you're being a dead horse with Keegan. I'm just over it. Okay.
Because it's twisting you. That's all. I was just gonna make a fun charity bet. That's all. So anyway,
I'm not interested. Okay. All right. Well, I got nothing else. You got anything?
No, that's it, man. We got Bear off on tomorrow night to break down the DFS. We got Pamela Maldonado to break down the betting card. She was going to go to Waste Management. I think she's not going anymore. I know she got hit pretty bad by that wind and storm. So I'll just verify that she's actually still going to come on. So I know they got hit pretty bad down in Texas. I know they're not typically equipped for like the bad winter storms, but yeah, man, big gas, great week. Oh god, I'm so excited for like a fucking, so excited for 4 days of like good golf, mm-hmm. good players, good golf. Hopefully, decent coverage. Yeah. Other than that, no, that's it, man. We'll be back tomorrow night with Bearhoff, and go check Steve's article on sportsgamblingpodcast.com, where he breaks it down in depth with like lots of pictures and data golf stuff to help you create your DFS lineup event card. You can find me on Twitter @Boston_Capper. Other than that, see you tomorrow.